We greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avenue Craig speaking. We're thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us.
When trials get me down and out, I wonder where the answer's found, and I grow anxious to know what lies ahead. I just trust in Him alone. That's where my help and strength comes from. For He does all things well. He does all things well. But when my heart is so heavy, it's hard to tell. No greater friend I'd ever find, who has my interest in mind. And He does one dark cloud. I know He has a plan for me. I'll follow Him faithfully, for He does all things well. He does. But when my heart is so heavy, it's hard to tell. No greater friend I'd ever find, who has my interest in mind. And He does all things well. No greater friend I'd ever find, who has my interest in mind, and He does all things well.
I believe that God has a plan for every individual life. The sad part about it is that so many people in the world are not allowing God to accomplish His plan in their lives. How much better people would be if they would let God lead and guide and direct their lives, for He does all things well. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your wisdom, for Your grace. We thank You for the privilege we have of being a part of the family of God through the redeeming grace of God. We thank You for the gift of Your dear Son that made this possible. And we're thankful that You love everyone, You care for everyone, You would have everyone to do what is right. So bless this broadcast service to the heart of each one in our congregation today. Remember them and the burdens, cares, and concerns that they have. Minister to them out of Your heart of love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a privilege to share this broadcast service with you. We trust that it is proving to be a blessing to you. We'd invite you to visit our webpage, where you may listen to a number of our broadcasts anytime, day or night. You may also listen to other messages that are there. and also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter
Our subject for today's broadcast, What the Bible Says About Marriage. And our text of scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good helpmate and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. Marriage is God's plan. Now, I know there are controversies in the world. In fact, there's controversies about almost everything, controversies about most everything the Bible teaches. And people want to argue and dispute over where marriage originated and so forth. But if you believe the Word of God and accept the Word of God to be true, marriage is God's plan. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. And we get from this passage of Scripture that God performed the very first wedding ceremony. God formed man, and then He formed Eve, and He brought the woman to the man to be his wife. And so God performed the first wedding ceremony. And the scripture that I just read says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now it does not say that the wife is to leave father and mother, but of course that's exactly what the Scripture implies here. For this statement that they shall cleave to one another, and the husband shall leave his father and mother, simply means that he is to establish a new home. Wherever a couple get married and they live with her parents or his parents, they have not really established a new home, and he is not really the head of a new home, for he would be subject to either his father or her father. So God's divine plan and will is that they establish an entirely separate institution, and that the husband be the head of the wife. And that doesn't mean that she is his slave, but she is his helpmate. And she has her rights just as he has his rights. And she has her responsibilities just as he has his responsibilities. So marriage is God's divine plan, and he doeth all things well. Now, there must be commitment if the marriage is to be successful. Commitment is very essential to a successful marriage. Of course, commitment is necessary in all works, all walks of life, but especially when it comes to marriage. Commitment is very, very essential. And I'd like to refer to an incident in the Scriptures where Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac, and he did not want Isaac to marry one of the Canaanite women in the area where he was living. So he sent his chief servant back to the area where he had lived earlier, and his wife had also lived earlier, there in what the Bible refers to as the area of Haran. And he gave instructions to this servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. And so the servant took an entourage and left. A number of camels, a number of servants went with him, and they journeyed to the area of Haran, which is today in the area between Syria and Turkey, close to the border of those two countries. And as the servant approached a well, he stopped there, and here came women to draw water. But before they started coming, the servant made a prayer to God. He made a request of God that he, whichever one, he would say to, "Give me a drink." And she would respond, "I'll give you the drink, and I'll also draw water for your camel as well. Let that one be the one that you have chosen for my master's son, a wife." So he prayed that way, and here came a number of women, and here came a young lady by the name of Rebecca. And he spoke to Rebecca, and he asked her if she would give him water. And she did. And she also said that she would draw water for his camels. And so after she said that, and after she did that, then he revealed to her what his mission was. And so he went home with her and spent some time there, and they wanted him to spend the night and feed his camels and so forth, and he wouldn't rest, as it were, until he made his mission known. And he explained to them what his master and who his master was, Abraham. Of course, they knew Abraham, and about his son Isaac, which had been born after Abraham had left Haran. And he explained that he was there on a mission for a wife for Isaac. And he told them how he had prayed and how that Rebekah had responded as he had requested of the Lord. And they wanted him to stay for 2 or 3 days, and he wanted to get back as soon as possible. And so they left it up to Rebekah whether she would go with him or not. "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." We find those words in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 58. Now you talk about commitment. Here is a young lady. She does not know the servant. She does not know where Abraham lives. She does not know Isaac, and yet here she consents to go with this man to become Isaac's wife. She left her parents, she left her home, she left her friends, she left her country, and she went into another country to become the wife of Isaac. And thank the Lord, it worked out quite well for them both. Oh, I'm sure they had problems, but it was a beautiful marriage, and Isaac certainly loved his bride, Rebecca, and he treated her like a bride should be treated. So there has to be a commitment, and this lady, Rebecca, certainly showed commitment, and she lived that commitment out. Again, I know they had some problems, but she lived out her commitment. We never read of her going back to her parents or even visiting them again. Now, when it comes to marriage, romance is important. Some people seem to think romance is only for courting, but romance should be a part of married life, and you can have real romance in married life that you should not have in courtship. Yes, I mean just exactly that. And so we again refer to Abraham, and this time to his grandson, who was the twin of Isaac and Rebecca. And Isaac was old, and Jacob had deceived him, and Esau had become angry at him and threatened to kill him. And so his mother, Rachel, sent him back to the same area that Abraham's servant had gone to find him a wife. And so he goes, and he also comes to the well, maybe the same well, I don't know. But anyway, he comes to the well, and it was earlier than normal for the watering. And here was this young lady by the name of Rachel waiting for them to remove the rock off of the well. And he asked her why she wasn't feeding her sheep, and she said, well, it's not time for them to move the rock. And so he moved the rock for her, and she was able to water her sheep, and she got home early. And her father asked her about it, and she explained why. And so they went and they brought Jacob to his house, and they made Jacob welcome there in the home. And this man had a couple of daughters, at least, maybe more, but see, he had at least two. And Jacob fell in love with one of his daughters by the name of Rachel. And the price for her was 7 years of labor. And the Bible tells us that Jacob worked for her for 7 years, and it seemed almost just like a few days. So we read in the scripture, Genesis 29, verses 18 and 20, Jacob worked for her for 7 years. But according to the custom, which was not told Jacob, he got the older daughter, Leah, and supposedly he didn't know it until the next morning. So he was fooled. He was getting some of his own medicine, as the saying is, how he had cheated his brother Esau, and now he was getting some of the same kind of treatment. So he had to work 7 years more before he earned Rachel. Well, he didn't have to work the 7 years to get her. He had to fulfill Rachel's couple of weeks, and then he got Leah's couple of weeks, and then he got Rachel. But he had to work a total of 14 years for his wife Rachel. And there was real romance there, although there was problems again. What family doesn't have some problems from time to time? But he loved Rachel, and those 7 years seemed almost just like a few days. So that was real romance, that was real love, and that love lasted on through until Rachel died, giving birth to her youngest son, Benjamin. Now, marriage holds times of great joy as well as problems. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days. If God's will is carried out, there will indeed be love between husband and wife, and there will be joyful seasons, and there will be problems, and there may be some heartaches along the way, but those kind of things just need to bind a couple closer together, and they need to support one another when the hard times come. So the wise man Solomon said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days. Now, marriage creates the best environment for the rearing of children. Statistics show and prove, and of course the Bible bears it out, that any home where the husband and the wife, father and mother both, are in the home, the children feel more secure, they feel more provided for, and they do better. So marriage creates the best environment for the rearing of children. Father and mother are both needed to rear children. And I am talking about father and mother. I'm not talking about two men, and I'm not talking about two women. I'm talking about marriage as God ordained it. And father and mother, both in the home, provides the very best environment for the rearing of children. Statistics prove this to be a fact, as well as the Bible bearing it out. Now, unfaithfulness breaks the bond of trust. Yes, unfaithfulness breaks the bond of trust. God makes them one flesh, and unfaithfulness breaks that oneness of flesh. In fact, unfaithfulness is undesirable in any area of life, and it breaks the foundation not only of marriages, but other foundations as well. Now, marriage is to be permanent. Yes, that is God's will. Marriage is to be permanent. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6. God intended for marriage to last until separated by death. I repeat, God intended for marriage to last until separated by death. Love is the foundation on which a happy marriage is built. It should not be finances, it should not be social standing, and it certainly should not be physical alone, but it should be love. Husbands are to love their wife even as Christ loved the church. What a high standard that is. Christ loved the church so much that he gave his own life for it, and I'll have more to say in a moment about that. So love is the foundation on which a happy marriage is built. Now, marriage is a living symbol of Christ and the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. And we are told in the scriptures that the church is the bride of Christ. Yes, the church is the bride of Christ, and he is not married to some harlot, and he's not married to some man, as it were, but he is married to the church. She is the bride of Christ, and Christ loved her and gave himself for her. So marriage is good and honorable because it is an ordination of God. It is God's plan. It is God's will. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these scriptures and thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit bear witness to the truth. May good be accomplished. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, I wrote a series of articles on building a happy home, and we'll put it in book form or booklet form, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of this booklet if you'll write and ask for it. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can join us in our Sunday services, as our services are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11. Our evening worship service begins at 6. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. You may also listen to a number of our broadcasts on the web and also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. I might also say that if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we would invite you to send it in. Our prayer group will be glad to pray for you and bear your burden to the Lord. And remember, our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to The Way of Truth Broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
My Savior dear, I love Thee. My Savior. Savior dear.